All right, so we now begin a new piece of the sugya, which is an issue that the Ramban brings up because the nusach, the ikar of the Mishnah, Harayat Muteres L'chol Adam, is missing in a couple of very important sources, like Rashi's nusach haget, maybe more important, the Rif's nusach haget. So I wanted to, there are really two pieces to the sugya. One is to understand why it's not there, or why it might not have to be there, or might have to be there. And then it opens a window into a new topic, or a related topic, because it emerges clearly out of the sugya and out of the run, of the question is there an Isser of Znus? So let me just state at the outset, so that everything should be categorically clear. And when I say an Isser of Znus, I mean even more specifically, is there an Isser of Pilegesh? Is there an Isser of Bia categorically outside the context of Kiddushin? So let me just state at the outside, the answer is yes. Not because that is true in the most true halachic statement, but let me just tell you perhaps something that should inform our thinking about this kind of an issue in general. Many years ago, I was involved in a debate with a Talmud Chacham who's no longer alive about the issue of Get Zikui, whatever that particular issue is. You can find it in Wayi Torah. And in the process, the assertion was made somehow that if you weren't miyachid edim at the chuppah, and there were krovim there, that the kedusha wouldn't be a kedusha. So let's just say that it's wrong. But I remember talking to my wife about this, and my wife, who is a more thoughtful person than I am, so she got very, very upset. Very upset, personally very upset. She got very upset because she said, what do you suggest we, at our wedding, I don't think, I was obviously from Sada, I'm not Yachid Edom, it's my tradition for Rosh Hashanah. I don't think my father-in-law was Yachid Edom when we got married. So she was upset. She was suggesting that we're not halachically married. Now, you know, the humorous person, you know, would say, that living in sin is more fun, so it's better that way. But Mayim Gunuvim Yim Taku, as Chazal say in their brilliant insight, the Lechem Sisar Yinam, the Pasuk V'Mishlei. But she was very upset. She said, "I don't understand. What halachically speaking has ramifications? You're stripping the sanctity of our marriage." That was what she said. So I use that to illustrate my wise wife was making a very important point, which is that it's not. Kiddushin is not just, well, now it's mutter to be, and now it's mutter to do whatever you want, you know, whatever you're going to do. It's kiddushin has kiddusha. And it's not just asra kulei alma kehekdesh, as the Gemara has in the first sugyan kiddushin. He said, man, we talk about the sanctity of marriage. So even if one were to work out a hechatimsa, why? Pilegesh was mutter. And you'll see this as we look at the Makaris. Of course it's not okay. Even if you can see two days in Shulchan Aruch about the issue of Machlokas Yerushalayim, of course it's not okay. Of course it's not okay. So anyway, but I do want to sort of explore that window. It also goes hand in hand, as an aside, with one of the most common misconceptions, including a lot of Jews, a lot of Orthodox Jews, who believe that a child born out of wedlock is a mamzer, which, Baruch Hashem, is not the case. Because if it were, we'd have a lot of mamzerim. A lot more than you necessarily realize. A child born out of wedlock has no status in halacha differently than if the parents had been married. Meaning, if the parents could be married, and the marriage would be a kosher marriage, so of course it's not appropriate having be out of wedlock, much less having a child out of wedlock. And there is, in the Gemara you have, Shema Yomer Gita Kodem Levna, by Get Yashan. I think that's the reason that's offered in our Masechta. But that's what people say. Right, and there's a reason. There's a reason why people are running, because it's not appropriate. So bottom line, though, there is no stigma to the child whatsoever. Any child born of a union where the union could have been a proper union with proper kiddushin with no pagam in it, so there's no pagam in the child. Yoni. I'm sorry. That's part of the discussion, whether that clearly, well, as I think the Tshuva Sarashba, and I'm not sure if it's actually Tshuva Sarashba Ramban, is what you haven't, it's on the Numa course that I sent you, it's the one I sent you during, you know, right before lunch or during lunch or something. The problem is it's not just a melech that had Pilegesh. The Rashba, the Ramban, points out that you have other major figures in Tanakh also who have Pilegesh, So, but some theorize that the Rambam limited it to Melech. We'll talk about it when we get there. Last time I checked, you're not a Melech. So, neither am I. All right, so let's begin with just to review the Mishnah, because it's worth ironing to our minds. So, Nisim, if I could ask you to read, and Akiva, if you show up a third time, I'll ask you to read too. All right, this one I could ask you, but Nisim, go ahead. Okay, so it would seem pretty clear, it seems pretty clear that Harei Amutaras L'Hodam is Gufal Shoget. And what's Rabbi Huda's formulation again? Rabbi Huda Omer? Okay. Is Rabbi Huda adding or substituting? Yeah, I mean, it certainly sounds like he's adding. Yes, Ephraim?
It's only being in my mind, the matter is more to the text of it. Again, just arguing on which thing they get is
Gufa. I'm not arguing. So that's fine. I understand that. As the Gemara will say in the context of Rava also, or Rav, Askei Rabbi Gittin. I understand that there's more to the get than that, but the question is Rabbi Yehuda saying that the Gufa shall get is not Harei Mutaras L'Chol Adam, but V'dein the Avodei Siminai, or is he saying in addition to Harei Mutaras L'Chol Adam?
The Vav of V'dein is not necessarily being matched.
Yeah, correct. That's what you're saying, correct. In other words, the Vav of V'dein could be going on something else. And in fact, you're being a little bit of a ringer here, you and Issa, because you've been looking at Mishchas HaGet, and you know that where is Harei Mutaras L'Chol Adam put?
Right before.
Really? I thought I'm thinking of the Nusach of the Rush. I thought it's Arei Mutaras L'Chol Adam Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. The end. He does. Okay, what about the Rush? Did I make up the Rush? What's at the end then? Okay. I misremembered it. Okay, fine. So, it's possible, though, it could be going on something else. The only question is, how would they get Anah so-and-so, Tarachis and so on, V'dein Di'avidli at Nechimina. You could just as well have that.
You don't have to say V'dein. You say V'dein. You can also say V'dein.
Okay.
The Vav is there, it's probably me.
Maybe. Okay. I'm just... So, yes... The Vav might point in that direction, and may not necessarily be compelling. I wouldn't be asking the question, Yoni, if it after the fact that Rashi and the Rif don't have Harei Mutaras L'Chol Adam. Ephraim?
A lot of the clauses begin with Vav, like Uchudo, Zorachis, Lechaiti, the middle clause also, which is not.
Yes. Yes, but it has to follow something. So you have to say the Dane is following something else. You don't start to get with a Vav, right?
It's not Makom. Look on the Vav.
Right. So, I don't want to die on this bridge. Okay.
What do you mean that the Rift doesn't have Harei Mutaras L'Chol Adam? I see it in his Get Krisus.
Are you wearing your glasses?
You mean because there's Vihare?
No. Are you wearing your glasses?
I don't have glasses.
Do you need glasses?
No.
It's in your printed text. But the Itur already points out that it wasn't in the Rift. pulled one of those on you. So the Rif and Rashi in his Rashi, it's harder to tell because I don't know if it's not really the full nosach, but Rashi they say doesn't have it, and the Rif does not have it in his nosach either. Doesn't have Harei Mutaras L'Chol Adam, and that's what starts this whole thing off. It's really that point. I don't think anybody looked at the Mishnah on its own and said, "Oh, Rabbi Yehuda was being machlif." I think we assume Rabbi Yehuda was being mosif, and then, however, it turns out that Rashi doesn't put it in there, and the Ramban and the Rif doesn't have it in the original Rif. Okay, so the question is, and what about the Ramban? So take a look at the Ramban for a second. Nisim, go ahead. Akiva, do you have the sources? Someone forwarded to you? Okay. Now, it is kind of interesting because there is a conflicting mashmaos in the Rambam. What's the conflicting mashmaos, Shimi?
On one hand, he says that any one of these phrases is good enough, but then he says, but the goof is very unclear.
Okay, now, when you read that line, there are two ways to read that line. What are the two ways to read, put these two together? Shimi, you get one, go ahead.
Either you could either say it's any of them, or you could say that he actually wants all of them in the get, but
I don't like the last one. Let's scratch that one for the record. The Rambam lists three possibilities: Hareat Megureshes, Hareat La'atzmech, and Hareat Mutaris L'chaladam. And anything like that, Harezo Megureshes. And then, there's going to be more. You're going to have to share. maybe not you, but we're going to have to share. The Gufo shall get. Is when he says Gufo Shaget Harei Mutaris L'Chaladam, does he mean that really you're supposed to use option three? Or does he mean this particular line in the get? And he picks the last one because the Mishnah uses that. Hareat Megureshes. Hareat Mutaris L'Chaladam. What does Megureshes mean? V'shilacha mi beiso. It means she's a free person. Hareat La'atzmech. And there, in fact, I don't remember for sure. Is Hareat La'atzmech in Kiddushin? What? Where is it definitely? Peham and Beis. The Rambam has almost taken three different pieces here. The Mishnah that says Hareat Mutaris L'Chaladam. The Gemara that says Hareat La'atzmech, and it reaches the conclusion on that Peham and Beis that that's good not only by a Shifcha or an Eved, but also by an Isha. And then the Sugyan Kiddushin, Hareat Megurashas. I think it's Hareat Megurashas, Hareat Meshulachas, and Hareat Mutaris L'Chaladam, I think, were the three. Maybe I'm making that up. So the Rambam here has kind of fused everything together. And then when he says, Hareat Mutaris L'Chaladam is Gufo Shoget, you could say that he means that he really wants that option. But I think it's more likely what he means is that you need this line in the get is the Ikar. Because this is the line that makes clear what? Goodbye. Get out of here. You're gone. You're leaving. As opposed to the next line in the Rambam, which is, Abalum kosav la ibalich eni arusich eni ishech ein zeget shenemar v'shulcha lo yishalach asatzma. In other words, the Rambam is telling you that this line in the get is the ikar. It's the line that says that the woman is now a grusha. It could be because she's mutaris l'chol adam. It's because she's migurashes mishulachas. It could be because it's hila atzma. So I don't think the Rambam, when he says this, means you have to have Hareat Mutaris L'Chaladam per se. Those words, M'lechatchila, I think the Rambam means that that clause that conveys the idea that she is now a grusha is the ikar of the get. That's Gufo Shaget, which is what the Mishnah says. Now, is there anything else? Let's, Ephraim, read one of the Nesos again. You didn't bring me my Gemara, so I know I usually bring my own. But, so read one of the, let's read a full get. Pick one of them. You want to read the Rush. Read the Rif, whatever you have your hands on. The Rif, that's fine too. Go ahead. Read slowly. Slowly. Stop. Okay, well, Pataris, Utarachis, the Shirachis, the Sichadichi. It means I have divorced you, sent you away, chased you out. Continue. What was that last line? The havas that you have been my wife until now. It means I would say I have sent. I mean, tarachis doesn't mean, or pataris doesn't mean I have sent you out. What does it really mean? I have, or I say I am. That's what it really means. We often sometimes use the that type of with that tense. It means, because when you say at the end, after you say, okay, that's a nice statement, but it's because I am divorcing so, and you are mutter to call them. Continue. Right. So if you took out Harayat Mataras L'Chaladam, it's still pretty clear that you divorced her. You have Harayat Mataras L'Chaladam earlier. You have essentially Harayat Mushalachas, Harayat Migurashas. You don't have the Harayat Mataras L'Chaladam, but it doesn't matter. Because at least the way I understand the Rambam, you don't need to have Harayat Mataras L'Chaladam. You can have Harayat Migurashas, Harayat Mushalachas. So even the Rambam Shita, while he definitely mentions Harayat Mataras L'Chaladam, calls it Kufa Shoget, it's clear from him, and I don't know that the Ramban, I'm not sure what the Ramban is thinking, but it's clear that you have an element in the get that says, I am divorcing you. Yes, right.
Is that the first part of the get that not the get is more of a sarayah?
Why? I don't think so. I don't think so. The Rambam certainly has the formulation that Harayat Mutaras L'Chaladam is Gufa Shoget, but it is not, sacred that you can't use different terminology in lieu of it. So I say this just because it's possible that there's no dispute here, that it's the manufacturer dispute, that the Rif may not actually disagree. He just thinks that you can have alternative language for Harayat Mutaras L'Chaladam. Harayat Migurashas, Harayat Mishalachas, and when you say, Ana so-and-so, Tarachas, Upataras, Ushavakis, that means I have divorced you. Saying that Tarachas, which is the Targum of Geirashtich, that's Harayat Migurashas. Right? Ephraim is suggesting something interesting, but I don't think that's the case, because the shame in the get is not just the raya. Right? The shame comes earlier, so that's the ikar part of the get. It opens with, after the date, Ech Ana, and so on and so on, Tarachas, Upataras, Ushvakis. Right, that's... Yes, if you don't write the Shem L'Shma, is the get good or no good? If you wrote Harayat Mataras L'Chaladam L'Shma, but not the name L'Shma, would the get be possible? Yeah. So it's hard, you're going to then come up with a patchwork of which parts of the Iker get which are a Raya. Okay. All right. So... what are the Hagos in Siyun Misei, by the way? Shimi? If you have them in yours. I don't know if you're... You don't have your edition. And there's no note at all on Harayat Mutaras L'Chaladam. So then you have to... then the only choice is to read the Ran, where the Ran will tell you already. Okay, what are your Hagos for Siyun Misei, Ephraim?
I've been using the Atra edition.
So fancy. Somebody tell me, what does the Haggadah say? First, you don't bring my Gemara. Then, you've been using... Nissim, what does it say? Anybody? I think we need to go Flintstones era. Right. All right. So, Leisa B'Kisveyad. I don't know Kisveyad. JTS manuscript. Okay, I don't know so much about the Rif's manuscripts. I only know one thing, that I have the first printing of the Rif on microfilm of the Zikin in my desk in my office. That's all I know, because it had the Tosefta and Adius's first print. The Tosefta's first printing. That's the only reason why. From almost 20 years ago, not quite, working on my dissertation. So, the Rishonim don't have it in there. So that's why Shimi, you read it there, but it's not there. And it's not that you're not wearing your glasses. Okay, so the Rif leaves it out. The Rambam puts it in, but you can have a substitute. So before we jump into the Rambam, we have to look at the Gemara in Yevamos. So the Mishnah, I only asked you to read one last line in the Mishnah, but this line is part of a Mishnah which speaks about the Takana or the Din, Machlokas Shonim, when an Eid Echad comes and says that a woman's husband has died. And normally we say, and you should require two witnesses. And yet, there seems to be there is a din that the woman is allowed to remarry. The Mishnah talks about, the Mishnah, technically, the pshat in the Mishnah, the opening part of the Mishnah, is ubo v'omrula. The Mishnah actually speaks in the plural. The Gemara assumes the Mishnah is talking about echad. At the end of the Mishnah, they talk about harua based in linaseh. It sounds from the end of the Mishnah that if two Edom said that her husband died and the Edom were wrong, she has to bring a carbon chatas if she now had relations with another man. If, however, harua based in linaseh, and then she's turim in a carbon because it was a haras based in on the basis of an Eid Echad, and therefore she's turim. And this is, again, one sheet amongst Tadayim. Then the Mishnah, however, says, which is the last line, go ahead, Yoni, please. Harua based in. Okay. So this really is a fascinating idea on the surface when you read it. If Beis Din gave her a heter to marry, and she went and she was mekalkelis, which the Gemara is going to talk about in a second, she has to bring a carbon because they only permitted her to marry. What does that mean? I don't mean the kilkala part. What does it mean? She's chayvesh shelo hitira el linaseh. Let's say I give you a heter to eat a piece of meat because I think it's kosher. Turns out I'm wrong. But you forget that you don't make a bracha on it. You refuse to make a bracha. So now you go and eat it and you want to say, but you're potter because I gave you a psak. So I'm going to say to you, but I didn't say you could eat without a bracha. Therefore, my psak's off. Does that make any sense? I mean, fine. You're a moel and you were gozal kodesh baruch hu, so you didn't make a bracha. But why should you be chayiv for eating the chaylev? Assuming we're the base of the paskim here. We paskim, you eat the chaylev, but didn't tell you could avoid making a bracha, so therefore you're chayiv on the chaylev. So what does it mean? Now did any of you look at the Ran? If you finished the Makoros, I didn't put the Ran on initially. This was pointed out between an early sefer called Get Pashut, which was written on the Shulchan Aruch. It's probably, I think, 17th century, I'm thinking. And a comment in the notes of the Rashba points out that actually Machlokas HaRishon and what that means with Nafkaminas for our second topic about the status of Tanuya. But the question that we that you have to stop and ask is, what does it mean that Beis Din gave her a psak? Lemaisa, you know, what is the Gemara's Maskana? Well, let's read the Gemara. You know the Gemara's Maskana, but read the Gemara, Yoni. Harua Beis Din. So these are two very different things, right? Rabbi, firstly, who's the first Tana? First figure? Right, so that's a mistake. That's got to be Rabbi Elazar. This can't be. You can't have Rabbi Elazar arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. Unfortunately, it would have been very nice if that were Rabbi Elazar the Tana, but it can't be that either. You know why it would be very fortunate if that were Rabbi Elazar the Tana? Let me ask you a question. Isha Chalala. Isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu v'isha gerusha me'isha lo yikachu. What is a zona? When it says by Yehuda, v'yireha Yehuda v'yachshaveh al zona, we know what that means. He saw a woman by the side of the road, and he assumed that she was a prostitute. That we understand. What does it mean, isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu? What is a zona? And this is whom a kohen may not marry. So does that mean if you're a Masada Kiddushin, there are no Kohanim in the room, right? No Kohanim, okay, good. Masada Kiddushin, I've never actually been Masada for Kohen. I've been Masada probably 40 times. I'm not a shul rav, so I don't do as many. I don't think I've once had as being the Masada Kiddushin for Kohen. Which is actually makes life a lot easier. Especially if you're not sure of the background of the young woman that he's marrying. Imagine that, you know, someone went to a secular college. Not that these things can't happen in YU, but statistically, you know, lav achbara ganav elachora ganav. So you have a young people who've been in places where sometimes things happen that shouldn't happen, and more likely happen in some places than in others. Now, if you're dealing with someone who comes from a frum family, went to Yeshiva High School, went to Samaria Israel, I don't know that you have to be choshed in that case, but sometimes you encounter people with more complicated backgrounds in terms of frumkeit, and even sometimes people with wonderful backgrounds in terms of frumkeit, the issues come up. So the problem is that if the young woman that the Kohen wants to marry has had a relationship with a young man, depending on who that young man is, that will determine whether or not she can marry this Kohen. So if she only, had a relationship with someone that she met at the JLIC, maybe the Hillel, maybe, so then probably she's allowed to marry a Kohen. But if she had a relationship with someone who she would not have met there, then she may be psula l'kohen. So the question, though, is there are multiple shitas of what a zona is. The accepted position is ein zona ela giores mishuchreres b'shenivala be'ilasnus. That's one position in the Gemara. It's the position that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin. I think everybody paskins that way. Giores, you understand. Even if she's a psula, the way we paskin doesn't matter if she converted below the age of 3 and a day. It makes life complicated both for the question of adoption. Complicated just means for a Kohen marrying such a person, and also for the whole contemporary issue of surrogacy, because typically surrogacy is done with a non-Jewish carrier, that is already. It becomes a serious issue as well. So the child might be born and converted the day they're born, or misafek, it's a question of what the din is, but it means that if it's a daughter, cannot marry a Kohen. Why? Because the woman is a Gioras, even if she's a psula. She's labeled a Zona halachically, and that's not a Metzias category. The same thing is true with the Shivcha Meshucharas. It's the same status of a Gioras. They weren't born B'Kedushas Yisrael, that's why Kohen can't marry them. But the third one really is the din of Zona, which is nivala be'ilas znos, which is, what is a be'ilas znos? So, we're not talking here about a sichas musa, some rebbe gets up in the yeshiva and talks about znos. We're talking about a bia that could not be done beheter under any circumstances. So everybody agrees, for sure, if kiddushin are not tosin, meaning if this Jewish woman had bia with a goy or with anyone who is an erva tahar, and some would extend it one way or the other to all the Yisurei Bia, even the Lavin. In that case, the woman is considered a Zona, and she may not marry a Kohen. There are other definitions that are offered in the Gemara. One of them happens to be the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua's definition, Ponui haba al hapniya shelo l'shem ishus asa'oh Zona. The Gemara states explicitly, we do not paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Amar of Amram, Amar Rav, the Gemara quotes it in Yevamos, first I think on Samach Hamad Aleph, and then it quotes it again on Samach Aleph, on Samach Beis Hamad Beis, quotes that they're both the din, and the fact that we don't paskin like it. There are three or four other shitos in the Gemara, I think on either Samach Aleph or Samach Beis Hamad Beis. In Yevamos, there are a total, I think, of 5 shitos as to what constitutes Zona. But the one that we paskin like is the one I just described. Ein zona ela giores mishacheres v'she nevala be'ilasnos. Now, that means that clearly if a Jewish man has bia with a Jewish woman whom he could marry, but they didn't, so she's not a zona l'kohen. Okay. Is it mutter? So I think the Gemara's assumption is it's not mutter. In fact, so much so, there is a Rambam in... Where's the Rambam? I think it's in Hilchos Ishus. It's in the topic. The Rambam is, I think, in the discussion of the din when if you have a couple who is married and they get a get and then they have yichud again, then they require another get. And the reason why they require another get is because Beis Hillel, it's Beis Hillel Shita, not Beis Shammai, is a hein hein nidi yichud, hein hein nidi biya. That we assume that the Edom of Suda HaMasiyachet, there's a chazak of Hedbiyah. Lest you think that is crazy, I want to promise you that it's not. I want to promise you that I don't want to say Maisim B'chol Yom, but my sense is it's a regular shayla that what they didn't get. Sometimes a marriage is over, but it's not actually over. And so it happens. So, in that context, wherever the Rambam quotes that, then you can find it. It's a Mishnah in Gittin, probably the seventh or eighth parak. Trace it to the Rambam. The Rambam quotes a shita of the Gaonim that he thinks is totally wrong, that if a single people have yichud, and they have bia, we assume that since there's a chazaka, which factors into the other din. In other words, there's heine nidi yichud, heine nidi bia, and a chazaka, she'ena namas abilas abilas nus. Therefore, we assume he'd be l'shem kiddushin, and the Edom seeing the yichud are the Edom making the marriage. So that those who wanted to say that, I assume you have to have, you can't just have yichud by people who never married to one another, because the Mishnah says b'feirush, it's only if they had nisuin previously. If they were married only with erusin, where they are not yet comfortable around one another, because they presumably haven't had bia yet, the chazak of hein edi yichud, hein edi bia doesn't apply, because it's ainli bagaspa. That's in the Mishnah. So I assume this gaonic shita by panu and pnuya is they had bia. The edim see they had bia, there's a chazak and there's a bia. The Rambam says it's wrong. He says it's that chazaka only applies by people who are married. Who were married once, and a variety of contexts. But the assumption is the chazaka is a bilas abilasus, because bilasus is not a good thing. So Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Lazar says, the Amora, Rabbi Lazar ben Pedasus, Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud, says it's zitza, it's wrong, and the base of Nevi'ah gave a heter and absnus. But Rabbi Yochanan said, go ahead. Go ahead. Alman, top line, Almana. Oh, you made me a Pnuya. Now that's very nice, but do you understand that? What does it mean? And if she is a pnuya and she now goes and marries a Kohen Gadol, what does she violate? Well, if she has to bring a carbon according to the Mishnah, what is she violating? Shimi? Try it. Esh is ish. You don't... All bias asuras are bad, but some are worse than others. Esh is ish is chayiv misa, is chayiv kares, is chayiv a carbon if it's shogeg. Yisrei lavan are not chayiv a carbon ever, except for shivcha charuf, I think. And then b'shogeg, it's not a good thing, but it's, you know, there's no real roshan that's left, other than the woman might have her status changed through the bia. But it's not, you know, so if we're talking about a carbon, so why can't she say to the Beis Din, hey, you want to tell me I'm chayiv in a carbon, you're the ones who made me a pnuya. Right, being a pnuya is what exempts her from the fact that she's a pnuya is what exempts her from the servatius issue. You made me a pnuya. You allowed me to remarry by making me a pnuya. Therefore, when I remarry, or if I don't remarry, and I have sinus, either way, you made me a pnuya. So I don't understand. Doesn't that same logic apply for the almana l'kohen gadol? You read this Gemara. What did you think about it? If I were in your shoes, I would have responded. I didn't. Because I didn't either. Until I saw the note and then looked at what they were talking about, I would have totally... I mean, I was kind of bothered by it, but I couldn't put my finger on it. How stark the question is. I'm able to starkly formulate the question because I know what the two possible answers are. But it's odd. What does it mean? So you made me a pnuya? Yes. And for the same reason, I won't be chayev when I'm mezaneh because I'm a penuyah. I won't be chayev for chatas when I'm an alman, a marrying kohen gadol, or a kushar, a chalutz, a marrying kohen hediot. I would even say that the answers that Rishonim presumably are giving for this are not as satisfactory as one might like. Oh, well, we'll see. Yes, Yoni.
I'm not quite sure of the question. You're saying why not the Pharisee reasoning to
Amalek? Yeah, what should make her plotter from the Karban if she married a Kohen Gadol? She's obviously an Amalek because her husband's dead. Eichad said your husband died. What should make her plotter from Ptur for the Karban? No, yes, because Beis Din declared her unmarried, so she was therefore able to have kiddushim with the Kohen Gadol without the penalty. The reason why she could marry a Kohen Gadol was because she was a penuyah. She wasn't mutter for her to do so, but right now we're assuming it wasn't mutter for her to do so either, which obviously points you in the direction of one of the obvious possible answers. But we'll hold on to that for now. I could have come right off. Okay. All right. So it's in light of this backdrop, and the Gemara quotes a braisa I cut off half because I didn't want to, that brings into crisis issues, but bottom line, I quote a braisa. Is the braisa really prove Rabbi Yochanan, by the way? I mean, it's just kind of yes and no. Why does it not really prove Rabbi Yochanan's statement, Ryan?
No.
Shimmy?
It says keep going.
Yeah, and Rabbi Elazar agrees with that. The Gemara says, she gave that example. The reason why it does prove Rabbi Yochanan's position is because you would say, Tafasta Ruolo Tafasta, why don't you tell us the bigger Chiddush? Tell us Kigon Shazinsa. Okay, you know, I don't know. It's not like it said Zinsa Ptura, but if she was Amal Kohen Shalat, she's Chayavas. That's not quite explicit, but fine. So now, let's take a look at what the Ramban says. All right. Who would like to read for me? Jonathan, can I? Ooh, okay. So Rambam makes a big claim here. He says that you need, it's not enough to have that limhach l'snas l'chol gvar d'titzviyin, because lehis nasava means to get married. It's the passive of nasav. The man is nasave and the woman is misnasave. She gets taken. So he told, what he wrote in that get was you could go and get married to any man you wish. Because if you don't write Harat Muteres L'chol Adam, you've only given her permission to marry. You haven't given her permission to have snus. Now, again, you don't give your wife, when you're divorcing her, permission to have snus. You give her permission to not be married, so having snus doesn't carry the same consequences as a married woman having snus. Okay. And if you gave your wife a get and says, Harat Muteres L'chol Adam, chutz misnusich, what's the din? Teku, it's a safek. The Ramban presents it if, you know, it's possible. It's possible in the safek. Others say it more explicitly. It's not vade possible, but it's a safek possible. So, so the Ramban says that's why you need to write both. In other words, even though you write, nimhach l'snas b'lachol gavar d'titzbiyin, as part of the Vedain clause, nonetheless, you have to write harayat muteres l'chol adam, otherwise you've given her permission to marry, but not permission to be exempt from the strictures of marriage with respect to znus. Continue. Oh, well, okay, so, get finished. In came.
In came.
Such an interesting idea. What does shofar the star mean?
Like
It's kind of funny language. It's not, it actually, you, I mean, that's what it means, sort of, but what did the words actually mean? Shufra d'shtara. Jimmy? I wouldn't say that, Ephraim. Yeah, I would say the beauty of the shtar. It should sound good, right? I mean, it really, you know, okay, you're divorced, honey, marry everyone. It's not the same thing. Harat Muteris. Well, I mean, that is how it is. You know, there's certain, firstly, if you say in Aramaic, everything sounds better in Aramaic, of course, unless you're a native Aramaic speaker. So it sounds better. Shufra the shtara. I think that Jonathan is correct. What was your formulation? Well, it's more than that, actually. I think that's what it is, but it does something else, Ephraim. Yeah, it is, although it's hard to separate the two.
It could still be in that sense here, goodness.
Okay. When I think shtaros, of course, there's one word in the shtar. You know where that word is used in a shtar? It's in the ksuva. Most people probably do not know what it means. Mikol Shvar Arag Nichsen V'Kinyonin in the Shibud parts. You know what that means? Shvar Arag, that word appears in the Bavli only once. It's in Gittin, actually, in the fourth or fifth parak. I don't know which one. But there's a doublet. Shvar means, that case, it means metas. Means the good stuff, and Arag means the same thing. It's a very rare, you find it more in Gaonic literature. It's related to the supposed etymology of Esrog. Vatera ha'isha ki tova eitz l'machol v'chisa avahu lo'enayim v'nechmar ha'eitz l'haskil. So one of those latter two verbs is translated, I think, as miragag, which means desirous. So shvar arag is a doublet. But that's the standard shufar the shtara. Shvar arag nechsen v'kinyanim. So next time you're at a chuppah and they read the ksuba and you got some guy who looks like he thinks he's a Talmud Chacham next to you, ask him what shvar arag means. You have to torture people however you can. So anyway, so I think Shufra the Shtara, I think Ephraim may be right, though, because I think the idea of Shufra the Shtara is like you want to cross every T, dot every I, just in case. So I think that's what formalities of Shtaras do as well. That's formalities of Shtaras do. Okay. So the Ramban quotes an opinion that says that when the heter of Nisuin includes the heter of Znus, it doesn't mean it's mutter. But when you permit your wife to remarry, you are basically declaring her free agent. And free agent means that all the steps between here and remarriage, this is not supposed to be one of the steps, but nonetheless, somehow the heter of Nisuin includes in it the right to be free from the strictures of marriage. Somehow Znus is included. And then he adds to that, go ahead. Okay, so the Rif, in the early versions of the Rif, the Ramban just quotes the Nusach of the Rif, and the Ran points out, quotes the Itur, that Arayat Muteres L'Chadam was not in the Rif, so neither of them have it. And he says, go ahead. Stop. What does he mean? This is the crucial line. This is the crucial line. But the question is, what does it mean? I'm going to just fill in the obvious inference. Now, one second. Again. She'ein horas based in lemechta. Ela shalmana lekoin gadol ola adas based in she'isen avaloi tirur b'nisua isur. So Znus was Ola al-Das based in? By the way, this is not, you know, yes, it was never Ola al-Das based in the Kohen Gadol would marry Almana, fine. But that a Kohen Grusha would marry, a Kohen Hedyot would marry Grusha, that can be Ola al-Das based in. That happens. Yeah, Kohen Gadol's probably not marrying Almana. If he wanted to, he'd marry her before he became Kohen Gadol, like Marta Basbaitus. Yeshua ben Gamla married her, and then he was elevated to Kohen Gadol. He was Ma'areser before he became Kohen Gadol. Marta Basbaitis was a very wealthy woman. And her husband became Kohen Gadol. And lest you think that I am the cynic, because I'm being cynically suspicious of rabbis, the Gemara says, Tirkava de dinare, Helsa Marta Baspaitis. She paid a lot of money to make him Kohen Gadol, but he was an Arisar. She was an Amana, I think. He was an Arisar before he became Kohen Gadol. He was only a Kohen Hedri. Kohen Hedri can marry Amana, Ephraim. Not dating, they had Erison. They had Erison. That's
what
different.
What is the downgrade he did Erison
before? No. It's crucial that you, because you can't. And,
wasn't it he was going to become Kohen Gadol and then he did Erison as her?
No, correct. No, they came together, yes. The Mishnah does have nice things to say about him, though, however, because he did give some nice donations to the Beis HaMikdash in Yoma. But nonetheless, Chazal state that he became Kohen Gadol because he married rich. He married rich and then the money was given. Guess what, Rabosai? The world hasn't changed. Okay. If there's a theme, if the theme of all of human history could be summed up in four words, which is?
The world hasn't changed.
No. Kesef, Yanes, Hakol. Okay. Sorry. So ever since we stopped being hunter-gatherers, that's been the rule. Kesef, Yanes, Hakol. All right, so the question is, what does it mean here? What does it mean that they never thought she would marry? There's no heter lemechza, but they never thought she would marry a Kohen Gadol. And they thought that she would have zdus? Right?
There are different degrees of implication in the statement.
What do you mean, different levels of iser?
No. The fact that...
Okay, question. This is going to be a different thing. Is a Kohen Gadol allowed to marry an almana? Is a woman who's single allowed to have zdus? No. Okay. So, now, when a Beis Din declares her Pnuya that she can remarry Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, and declares her Pnuya, if she's a Pnuya, will the zdus carry the penalty of Eishes Ish? Will, if she marries a Kohen Gadol, will it carry the penalty of Eishes Ish? No. So, what does it mean, different degrees? And one's more... It's fair to say that one is more chamor than the other. That Amana L'Kohen Gadol gets one or maybe multiple sets of malchus, one for the Kiddushin, one for the Bia. And whereas a Pnuya, not clear exactly what the punishment is. Okay. But still, certainly not. It's not as obvious a lav. It's true.
The difference is actually, you can't say that you thought that not for you to the
You might be onto something, but you really need to refine the formulation. And that's not where I'm going to go. That's neither of my two options, by the way. I know, but that doesn't explain anything. You're just translating words.
Well, all that matters is what she thinks, right? It's not it doesn't have to be a fundamentally blondish.
No, it matters what the Beis Din thinks, not what she thinks. If she is shogega, she has to bring a karban. The only reason she's Petura is because she has Rishus Beis Din. So the Gemara is saying, you have Rishus to be Pata with respect to a Zuz, but you don't have Rishus to be Pata with respect to a Banal Kohen Gadol. That's the problem. It's not what she's thinking. It's what Beis Din is thinking.
Is that because she thinks that she had to have the Beis Din as karban?
No, I don't think so. That's certainly not the formulation. Shimmy?
Could it be that for any given person who is both a Grusha and a Kurd Lamana from this, it's much more likely to do this than to marry Cohen? And so Beis Din was expecting the
So you are suggesting, which I think is sort of that one of the avenues that I would go down, is that Beis Din understood the implications of their actions of what would follow, which is likely, hopefully, you get married Mazel Tov. But they also understand that, people do things. But people do things like, Znus is typically a sin of passion. But Aman al-Lakot, it's one thing to be Mizana with somebody. It's another thing to marry somebody. Right? That requires, you have to send out wedding invitations, you have to make a chuppah, you have to make a meal, and now you do it by Veira. Beis Din did not assume that anybody would have the chutzpah to go and do that. It's nus. Okay, it happens. It's a private thing. All sorts of reasons. So Shimi is taking literally, which might actually be the case, but it doesn't explain the mechanism. You're explaining why Beis Din would expect one but not the other. Why it was only Aldas Beis Din that she might commit an act of nus. But you still, that's very nice. So who cares what Beis Din was thinking? Were they matir her? Did they declare her not a penuya? Beis Din is accepting an achrayus upon themselves when they rule. I mean, in accordance with the Takana Sacham, you believe in Eid Echad. So, why does it matter what Beis Din was thinking? Beis Din, as it's, why is she patur from the carbon? Because Beis Din has the achrayus of the carbon. She offloaded her achrayus to them. They said, we're permitting you because of societal good, because of aguna, we're permitting you to remarry. We're declaring your husband dead. Implicit in this, that they accept upon themselves the achrayus if they got it wrong. If the yidach was lying, if the yidach made a mistake. They accept the achrayus upon themselves. Therefore, she doesn't require a carbon anymore because she's not the one who needs kapara. Now, you can imagine someone saying the following. You know, if you are going to have to miss a day, you know, and I'm going to cover for you at work. So there might be a difference between I'm covering for you because you're sick versus I'm covering you because you wanted to go watch the NFC Championship game. There could be a difference. Or you want to do, you know, go tour 9/11 or do some other activity. And I could say, one second, I didn't agree to do that for you if I knew that's what you were going to do. So Beis Din can say, we did not accept upon ourselves the achrayus. We did not give you a heter. We would have not given you a heter if we had known that you would go marry a Kohen Gadol. That's what I believe the Ramban means when he says it was never Ola Aldas Beis Din that you were actually going to do that. Okay, so who cares about that? The answer is because they only gave you a heter in effect al Tanai. Had they known that you would go and marry a Kohen Gadol, they would never have met you. They would never have declared you a penuya. For that, they don't need to do that. In other words, it's not Beis Din, it's not merely Beis Din's determining a fact. If Beis Din's determining a fact based upon a takan of Eid Echad, so then who cares whether Beis Din did that or not? The woman is chayeves. She's a shogeg. Okay, shogeg brings a carbon. That's the way it is. It's Beis Din accepts the responsibility. They would never have accepted the responsibility if they had known this is what she was going to do. Now that's where Shimi's line comes in. Pinuya, they understand. Things happen. Not on one of the Kohen Gadol. That's like, that's above and beyond. That means, what does that mean then in terms of the nature of the Isser of Znus and its status? And its status in comparison to Aman al-Kohen Gadol, Shimon? Nope, I don't agree with that. That's not the formulation I would use. It happens to be probably a less stringent Isser, but no, that's not what I would walk away with. Right? I'm sorry, they were saying that.
Just more prevalent.
Yes, exactly. Not that it's less severe than Amal HaKohen Gadol, it's just more prevalent. I mean, then Amal HaKohen Gadol we can say with certitude. We can also say with certitude the Grusha HaKohen Hedyot as well. Znus is more common than a Grusha Marian HaKohen Hedyot. That's true. It's more prevalent. So Beis Din understood. They understood that when Amati had this woman to remarry and they accepted the Achlayas and she's threw her from a carbon, they understood that Znus was a fairly reasonable possibility. They didn't assume that marrying one of the Isurei Bia was a likely possibility. On that, those grounds, they would never have been matir. Again, we're talking about here, based in effect, offloading the achrayus of the carbon of the shogeg from the woman onto Beis Din. I, by the way, would not have said this on my own. I would have said where Ephraim was going at some point earlier, which is once the Beis Din tells her mutter, she's anusa. How can you blame her? And the answer is, no. I know that is not fully the case because this shita in the Mishnah that Rishus Beis Din makes a Ptura from a Karban is, I believe, Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that Yochid Sha'asa Boras Beis Din is Potter. We don't pass, I believe we don't pass in that way. We pass that only a Rov HaTzibur that follows Haras Beis Din is Potter. And that's when the Beis Din brings the Karban. That's the Karban of Parhelim Dover Shel Tzibur. So, the idea that according to that Shita, I forget which Tana, but it's the mainstream Shita in the Mishnayos, I think, in Horios, that says that even if Beis Din were the ones who ruled that X is Mutter, and you did it because Beis Din said it's Mutter, if you are a minority of the Tzibur, you have to bring a carbon. That's called a Shogeg. Oh, but it's Beis Din's fault. You were following Beis Din. The answer doesn't matter. There's a Shogeg involved here, and it rests upon you. The Achrayas doesn't rest on Beis Din. So I presume that the Shita that says that Yochid Sha'asa Baharas Beis Din is Potter, it's because the person's Achrayas is offloaded onto the Beis Din. The Beis Din is mekabel that when they pass it, according to Rabbi Shimon. But if you go and you do this outrageous act that we could never have conceived that you would do, we never accepted the Achrayas, so that you now have the Achrayas. Penuya, well, it shouldn't, but happens all the time. Zinsa is not, that's not called Kilkala. What does the Ramban mean when he says Ein Hora Lemechza? Fine. No. I think it means that when based in Paskin something, if she does something that was beyond their expectations, then there is no psak. They didn't give a psak. But if she doesn't do anything that's beyond their expectations, if everything she does within their expectations, you can't split the psak. She can't be ptura if she marries, but chayevet if she commits nos. In other words, they gave a psak knowing a certain set of circumstances. When she's mizan, when she has marries a Kohen Gadol, so the Beis Din will say it was a psak petol, it was a psak al tanai. We never intended for that. But since they know that znus can happen, they either give the psak or they don't give the psak. If they give the psak, she's a pnuya under all those circumstances. If she's not, if it's not a psak, then she's not a pnuya at all. Ein hora lemech. If you're possible that she's a pnuya, based upon all the things that you, all the possibilities you can conceive of, she's a pnuya with all the ramifications and benefits and effects therein. If she married a Kohen Gadol, so that you never gave, you weren't going to give a psak in the first place for. I mean, it's a chiddush, by the way. It's not simple. But that, so that's what? So that's the idea, the response to why Harant Muteres L'chal Adam is one second. No, I'm sorry. So that is the that's the Ramban's taina. That it's not that znus is bechalal nisuin. When you say you're free to marry, it means you're free to znus. It's that if the Beis Din is going to give her a heter for remarriage, which means they have to declare her a pnuya, and they declare her a pnuya fully well knowing what the likely range of possibilities are, any of that likely range of possibilities, she's a pnuya. That's why znus is Ptura, not because Zunus is Bechlal Nisuin. So when you come back to our case in the get, that you are allowed L'hoch L'snasna L'chol Gvar Titzvayim, that's not a heter of Zunus. It's not implied at all when you give her a heter L'hisnasva. Because Zunus is not Bechlal the heter of Nisuin. That Gemara and Yuvamos proves nothing. And then the Ramban points out further, he says, go ahead. Stop. That's the end of this piece. What's his question here? It's a question I think that you could have jumped up before you even saw him ask. But this part bothered me. If it's not clear what the Ramban is saying, so it was clear to me because the question already was gnawing at me. Right? Yes, you don't solve the problem. Because very nice. If you want to say that Lisnasa Chol Gvar de Titzvayan implies a Heter Znus, but it's going to exclude what? Well, what is the heter of nisuin that based in Yevamos include? What does it exclude? Alman al kohen gadol. So it would mean that if you don't write harayat mutaris l'chol adam, which declares her a straight out penuya for all purposes, then, so granted that znus might be b'chlal the heter of lisnasva, but not necessarily alman al kohen gadol. Because when the Beis Din is haroli nasei, it doesn't include that. That's the Ramban's question. What's the answer, I think? What could the answer be? I don't find this... I was thought about the question. I don't find it compelling. Ephraim? No, but just look at the language. What does the Beis Din tell her? They say you are free to remarry, presumably. I mean, I don't know. The Mishnah, and they never spell out the Mishnah. They say, it's itu ro lehidase. Now, it's possible that Beis Din writes her a patur that says such a thing, but I would have argued that if it says lachol gvar de titzvayin, that could include anybody. In other words, the only on the literal reading that, you know, at rasha limhoch lenisnastin lachol gvar de titzvayin includes all nisuin, even that of Isser. Now, and the only question is, does it include Znus? And the answer is, it can include Znus. And as this is a language that goes beyond Harayat Muteres Linase, it says, L'chol Gvar D'Tzayim. Could have said that. Okay, but the Raman doesn't think so. Yes, and we have the Gemara earlier in the... third parak, that harayat muteres l'chol adam is a line that you need to leave space for in the get. So you see that's part of the ikar haget, which again is not necessarily a raya because it could be shorthand for wherever you put that clause in. If Rabbi Yehuda's v'dein was a substitute for harayat muteres l'chol adam, that's all harayat muteres l'chol adam means there. It means whatever you put in to be the gufo shel get that actually says, you are divorced from me, I am divorcing you, you have to leave space for that. Why did the Gemara pick? Why did I think Shmuel was it? Or was the Mishnah? Was it Shmuel? Where's that line? Ephraim? That line that you need to leave the Makom Erev Teres L'chol Adam. Is that Shmuel?
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, it's Lav Dafka. It's Lav Dafka, those words. But it means it's a shorthand for our Mishnah and Daf Pehe. But okay, so the Ramban says, no, the Sugya da Alma follows that. All right? All right, so that later in the perek, which is going to be my least favorite part of the perek, when they talk about the actual, just the physical writing of the get, and when you write things in funny ways, and signatures, and foreign languages, and going from the left to the right, the right to the left, I'm hoping we'll never get there. I hope we'll spend the rest of the millennium on Eidei Nesirah, because I'm always afraid of those, that Gemara. So in that discussion, if you wrote Harei Muteres at the bottom, and then you wrote L'chol Adam at the top, so clearly they're writing it in the get. Fine. Umikomakom. Okay. So why does Rabbi Yehuda, what does he benefit by putting it in Lehisnasva if it doesn't include Zunus? And you already have our Imutaris the Chaladam. Mikomakom. I'm sorry. Right. Go ahead. Yeah, why bother with that? Just say, the whole point of a dain for Rabbi Yehuda is not to tell the woman she's free to marry. It's to tell that this is the means, the mechanism of the Harei Muteres L'chol Adam. This, the dain, the Abi Lichi Minai, either the dain or Minai or both, that this piece of paper is from me to you to read, you know, to accomplish Harei Muteres L'chol Adam. So why does he require it? V'yishlomer? So what is the purpose? This is an Iger Shibukin and a Get Piturin. For what purpose? The answer is... Right. So really, if the Get is to render you permissible to everybody. However, the Chavon, the Kasav... Right. Doesn't matter.
The Oud. So what's the word? Oud the lasha muteres lachal adam mashma shnei pnuya umuteres lachal lo shetinase laachar bete aser lakulam. What does he mean by this? Fine. That's what it sounds like. That is what it sounds like. Right? The point is you want to make it clear to her she's free. It's not that she's only free to go marry somebody else. She's free. And that's why you want to say lehisnasva, because that's not clearly stated in Reit Muteres Lachal Adam. Ulahotzi me'irizeh. Yeah. Aval. Yeah, don't say this nasva, say this shemriya, and you'll accomplish that. Ella. Okay.
So that's pretty wild. Now, okay. So that is the Ramban's formulation of this. I mean, the Rashba says it, so it's not going to be a surprise to you. But what would the response be to the Ramban Bigadol? The Ramban doesn't give short shrift to his opponents here. He gives a very brief statement, but he doesn't address what I think is really would be the major taina. Without even having to resort, I think I can answer the question without having to resort to the Gemara and Yevamos. I think it's implicit in the Rashba. I think he says it. Are you allowed to divorce your wife chutz misnusich? No. It's a safek shir beget. When you tell her that this is her get, that she is rashai limhach lisnasta lechol gar detitzbiyin, what are you telling her? Are you telling her you can marry but not have znus? The answer is no. You're telling her you're free to remarry because you don't assume she's going to have znus, not because you're limiting her. It's not like you said, you're free to remarry, but you may not have znus. Because I'm very firm and I would never have such a thing with my ex-wife. My current wife. My ex-wife, I also shouldn't be having znus. You want to be my ex-wife, you can't have znus. That's not what he's telling her. He's telling her you're free to go. Why does a woman, generally speaking, when you have an aguna, why does a woman want to get? Yes, Shimi. She wants to marry somebody else. Now, there is probably a psychological element of also wanting a get to be cut off from the husband. But if you had a woman who was 70 years old and had no interest, she's had enough of men. She's lived with this guy for 45 years, enough. And he doesn't want to give her a get. What is she going to do if she lives in America? She'll go get a civil divorce, and she'll go to Florida where all the Amadis live, you know. Not your part of Florida. I mean, you know, what is it? What's that?
Not so far.
Where my mother-in-law has an apartment. She goes down there part of the year. What's it called?
Century Village.
Century Village. Yes. Frankly, I don't have to shut the recording for this, but I think I'd rather freeze to death at the North Pole than go there. So the truth is, I don't like warm weather anyway. But it's like no. That is not my idea. Maybe you come back to me in 25 years and I'll be singing a different tune. But the thought of that is just my nightmare. So the bottom line is you go down, and there are many still married men there as well. But, you know, you go to some places, it's mostly women, because on average women outlive men. There's statistics. And so if she's really not that interested, it's like chalitza. Now, chalitza, granted, doesn't carry the same baggage. But an older woman, let's say, whose husband had no children, and rather it could be she had no children or it's a second marriage, no children. If she's not interested in remarrying, she's probably not going to go through the chalitza ceremony. Because why? She's not interested in remarrying. Okay, so there's a zika that remains with this guy's brother. Who cares? So to sum it, now, granted, being married carries, firstly, the penalty for being mizana when you don't have chalitza is not misa. It's a lo sase. Not that it's not real, not that it's not significant, but it's not nothing, but it's not ishish either.
But I think it's also that there's no, you don't have the same, Zika is not the same thing as the bond of Kiddush and Nisuin. But really, if you have a woman who's 70 and is not interested in getting remarried at all, you know, the husband might be an obnoxious guy, but it's not a tragedy. If she, it's not like she's not going to have children because of this. It's not like she's can't remarry because of this. So just get a civil divorce, separate our finances, and move on. It's a big deal. So when you say lehisnasva, it's because the reason people want to get a divorce typically is so they can, especially now everybody after the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, they want to be able to go their separate ways and marry. That's what they want to do. So it's not as if when you say that you're rasha lehisnasva, but you can't have znus. No, it means that's the normal thing you do. But yes, if you ask, is this included? It's like, do whatever you want. You're not my wife anymore. So that's I think the real answer to is that lehisnasva doesn't imply chutz misnusich. I think maybe it's the Rosh Bar, somebody who says, to be chutz misnusich, you have to say the perush. When you say that you are permitted to remarry and marry anybody you want, that means you're not married to me, you're a pnuya. That also means that if you have znus, even though it's not mutter, you're not an ish ish. I'm not coming to say you're only allowed to remarry, right? Does it change if we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? I'm missing something. You're thinking a couple steps ahead. What?
We have to have. So we think there's a potential implication, even if you can spell it out, and there wouldn't be a real
thought. No. Because once you give me a permission to remarry, you're making clear this is a get. The implications of a get is that she's a penuya. Right? If a get were, and that, if there were no problem with priestess, if a get were checkboxes that you could eliminate Zenos, then I might argue with you. And then would mean get would be something totally something else. It really wouldn't. It wouldn't be a get because it wouldn't be severing the husband's control over the wife. That's the whole point of krisis. So, but if it were a mix and match, you pick the things on the menu, then I'd agree with you. It's yadayim shenu mochichos. In fact, it might not be that it's yadayim shenu mochichos. It might be yadayim shenu mochichos klal.
Why is there any difference than igras where we were cautious that you could read an edda to set us tonight?
Only if the husband made a claim. That's why he wrote it.
No.
The Ramban is not saying that. Totally different. The Ramban, by all those others, most of the Rishonim are going to say that all the Diktukim and the Gemara only matter if the husband comes and says, that's what I wrote the get, or I told the sofer writing the get. Yeah, but that's the mainstream. The other Shita is very, it's hard. And even the Rambam, Bintina says it's good. Because the Rambam says it's a get puzzle. The Ran points out that, and it means if she got married, she doesn't have to get divorced. The Rambam doesn't say it in that din, but later in Hilchos Gittin, he says it. When he says, whenever it's a get puzzle, if she remarried, the Rambam says, when I say use the term get puzzle, then she doesn't have, then she locates a mises. So everybody agrees, me, Dino, it's good. Unless maybe the husband comes and says, no, that's why I wrote it in the get. I wrote E, Garas, if you committed this, otherwise this is not a get. Okay, but that's not, but this, the Ramban is not talking about the husband lays a claim. The husband's not laying any claim. He's gone off to Tahiti. He's finished. He has nothing to do with anybody. Right? The Ramban is saying this get is no good because it does not give, it's a chutz mis nusich.
He seems to be equating who will get with Tetzeh if it's not done. And if you do hold that, Dungeon of Hitler's part of who will get.
No. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda, even if you're dying shein mochichas, lo havin yadayim, the harayat luteres, he would say that lehisnasva, in order for her to marry anybody else, it means definitionally that she is muteres v'chaladam, because it can't happen otherwise. It is mochichas. In order for her to be able to marry any nice Yiddish bachor, in order for able to do that, she has to be a punya, this has to be a get. It's yadayim mochichas. That's what one, I think one could say in response to the Ramban. It's not, I don't know if he was permitting Znus. No, he wasn't talking about Znus at all. That was the point. He was talking about the normal thing that would happen. But in order for that thing to happen, she has to be a Pnuya. If she has to be a Pnuya, it's Mochir, that this is a get, that she's a Muteris, the Haladam. I think that there shouldn't even be a need to resort to that Gemara in Yevamos. Let's read the Reshba a little quickly here. Oh, Ephraim, you haven't read. You and Shimei haven't read. Ephraim, start. Roshba.
Okay.
Right, so that's the formula of Shayus. You then go on to quote the Gemara in Yavamos, but I don't think you should really need to quote the Gemara in Yavamos. In other words, not because the language of Lisnasva implies Znus, but because the ramifications or the possibility of being Muteris Linasa implies that Znus won't carry that penalty. And ditto, by the way, for Amana L'Kohen, Gusha L'Cholutz L'Kohen Hedyot. Right? Zehivi Raya. So he says, so look what he's got to deal with the Ramban's problem. That's what we said. That's literally included. Al Hassan, the based in Sha'ula, Mistama. In other words, when based in, what does Ramu Anafshaihu mean? No, it actually doesn't. What's that? Thought about it, yes. We have an expression, Nilsa de la Rami Anafshai, you don't pay attention to, right? You can't testify about something you didn't expect to be paid attention to. So, Aval. Yeah, I think that's very, very misabar. But then you don't have to get into the whole it's bichlal. The ode. Why take a broader language, a more encompassing language, lishna revicha, that everything is included in the lema. Not limhoch lemisnasva, but with tishari. Ella. In other words, the only reason Rabbi Huda didn't put in Lishtaraya and it's supposed to Lishtasva is because he already had Aray Mutaris Lachaladam. That you could say. The old Raya. Yeah. When you say, I would even argue better from the language Tarachis Upataris, is saying, I am being Megarish you now. You're a Gusha, right? Megureshes. Uvigarsina Bikidushin. Yeah. Okay. Uvasidur Haget. So we saw the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban. So this is interesting, by the way, because he only refers to the Rambam as Nusach HaGet. He doesn't talk about the fact that the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Daled says that Harei Miteres Tachal in the Skufa Shul Get. But the truth is, when you look at that Rambam, as we pointed out, it's not clear at all the Rambam thinks you have to use that clause. You could use Harei Megureshes, and that's just as good. Okay. Right. He's not going to deny the fact that people typically wear a Reim Uteres Chol Adam and again. But the Rashba clearly is not convinced that the Ramban is correct. I'll close with just a sort of a methodological observation. When you look at the Rishonim here, I think that the Ran and others are much more committed to the Ramban sheet than the Rashba is, which may not be a surprise, because remember, the Rashba is not a Talmud of the Ramban. I mean, he is a little bit of Talmud of the Ramban, but the Rashba's primary Rebbe is Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rabbi Yonah and the Ramban, by the way, were mechutanim, if I'm not mistaken, just as an aside. The tshuva that's in, printed in the Rashba, Hamiuchasas the Ramban, which is usually assumed to be the Rashba, has a passage in at the beginning. It's not on your, if you printed it, unless you printed the ones I said during lunch, you don't have it. But it says, Zos tshuva heshev Ramban zal, Rabbi Yonah zatzal. So I don't know if that's really, they say to take it out, because I'm not sure it's really the Ramban, but I don't know. But remember, who was the Talmud of the real the Talmud of the Ramban? Not the Rashba, but Ra'ah. The Ra'ah, whose Talmud was the Ritva, whose Talmud was, we think. They thought the Ran, no? Is he a Talmud of the Ritva? He's certainly in the continuation of that chain. So you would expect, I think the Ritva here also, when I looked in the Rabbeinu Kreskis doesn't really say anything about this, but I think the Ritva here also follows the Ramban's position, which would not be surprising, assuming it's really the Ritva, because that was the Ramban felt strong about the Rashba, does not feel so strongly about this. So anyway, so tomorrow we're going to do we have to do the Ran on this. I gave you update Maror Makomos, and then we go on to the second topic. Read the Ran really, really carefully when he focuses on that Gemara and Yevamos, what the argument is, because it actually, I wouldn't have noticed this on my own, it's actually a different argument than what the Ramban says. It's a subtly different argument. He agrees with the Ramban, you know, Lamaisa, but his analysis of that Gemara is somewhat different. And at least conceptually it matters, even in terms of what we're saying here, even if Lamaisa actually doesn't. Okay. Any questions?